Our follow-up music by Handel. We go to his trio sonata in B-flat with the Academy of Ancient Music.
It's the Classical California Ultimate Playlist. You voted for your favorite classical music, and now we're counting them down.
Happy New Year, friends, and thanks so much for sharing this festive night with me. This is Maggie Clennon-Reberg and my New Year's Eve baby, Alan Chapman. Listeners voted, we tallied, and here is an encore broadcast of Classical California's Ultimate Playlist 2021 edition.
And your regular host, Jim Schwede and Laura Downs, will be back with you on Monday. But you know what they did? They said, for this special party on New Year's Eve, why don't we make the people who are normally on in the morning stay up all day until midnight, counting down these pieces? Yeah, who knows?
Let's see what
who
happens knows? To them.
Who knows what's going to happen with that? But we are delighted to be here. Maggie and I are just delighted to be counting down the final pieces on the Ultimate Playlist.
Number 6 is next, and this is what a listener said about it. This music speaks peace to my heart, no matter how my day is going or the state of the world.
And another voter for this piece said it was the first piece of music that made me a classical music lover, and that's something very big.
Here comes number 6 in the Classical California Ultimate Playlist. Luckily for us, it is also Symphony No. 6, Beethoven's Symphony No. 6, known as the Pastorale, Kent Nagano leading the Montreal Symphony Orchestra.
If you like From the Top, make sure you like us on Facebook. It's the easiest way to stay in touch with everything From the Top. You'll find daily videos, articles, photos, and a thriving community of fans. Join the fun by going to facebook.com/fromthetopfans.
Support for NPR comes from this station. And from the Howard and Geraldine Pollinger Family Foundation, committed to nurturing the development of talented emerging artists and sharing the joy that the performing arts bring to life. From the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need. And from Americans for the Arts.
Hi, I'm Diane Nicolini. Monday through Friday, I'm here from noon to 3 with your requests. Now, if there's something you'd like to hear, I'd like to hear from you. There's nothing too obvious or too obscure that I won't try to play. Maybe it's a piece of music that holds special meaning, or perhaps you're just enthusiastic about a certain composer. Either way, all you have to do is reach out. I'd love to hear what's on your mind. Just leave your requests at diane@classicalrequests.org.
Hi, this is Duff Murphy. Each week on Sunday night, we explore opera in all its drama and comedy with some of the most expressive artists of the present and past. Each will be interpreting the music of the composers who wrote for the glittering stage. Join us Sunday evening at 9 for the KUSC Sunday Night Opera Show on 91.5 Classical KUSC.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the Pioneer Center for the Performing Arts in Reno, Nevada, where we're guests of the Reno Philharmonic in partnership with KUNR. Coming up, the string quartet that won this year's junior division of the Fischhoff National Chamber Music Competition performs Bartok. Our Reno performance is made possible with support from Harrah's Reno Resort and Casino. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. Our next jam performer comes to us from Cincinnati, Ohio. Please welcome 17-year-old flutist Lindsay Wong. Lindsay, tell everyone what you've brought for us to play together.
I will be playing Fantasy by Gobert for flute and piano.
Here we go.
Thank you.
17-year-old Lindsay Wong from Cincinnati performed the Fantasy for Flute and Piano by Philippe Gobert. Such a wonderful performance. I've played. Gobert must have a bunch of pieces, you know, Fantasy, Nocturne. There are a bunch of them.
Yeah.
You first learned this piece 2 years ago, and so you revisited it for our show. Tell us about that experience, you know, going back to a piece that you worked on a little bit and what you did this time.
Well, at first, when I started this piece, I wasn't really sure what was going on. I just played it for fun, and after I was done learning, I just taught the side, and I never went back to it. And then recently, I heard a recording of someone else who was playing it, and then that really inspired me to relearn this piece. And I think it's very important to revisit a piece because there are many things that you can discover that are new, such as this piece. I realized that it wasn't just lyrical and just pretty, but like there were things that like sounded very bittersweet to me, and I never noticed that before.
Yeah, it's got its romantic moments,
yeah.
and fairly deep, and pretty fun and challenging to put together. Thanks for that. Very, very nice. You started the flute for interesting and very personal reasons. Mm-hmm. Your early motivations from your parents, I guess?
Yeah.
Tell us.
My parents took me to a symphony this one time, and I wanted to choose instrument my own since my sister played piano. And so I noticed the flute because, like, I saw it was very shiny and long, and so I was tempted to try it and see what it was behind the sound and everything. So
you are not alone in approaching the flute as a fashion accessory. No shame. No shame in that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I started playing it, and then I used to have a very big stuttering problem, and I realized that the flute sort of became my voice, and I realized that it was easier to communicate with people with using music instead of my voice.
Wow, so necessity, the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. I bet the stuttering is good for triple tonguing, right?
Right.
Yeah, gosh. That's amazing. So your ability to communicate. You made a major scientific discovery, I understand, about music and amphibians.
Right. So I have these two frogs at home, and we got them a couple of years ago. And then the person at the store said that they were only supposed to live for at most 2 years. And so far they have lived up to 7 years. And my philosophy behind this is that music helps them live. So I guess I could use that as like a motivational factor just to practice and keep them alive.
I feel 10 years younger just playing with you, Lindsay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bravo.
Lindsay Wong, 17 years old, our flutist from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Podcasts are From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org.
Over the years, we've enjoyed many incredible teenage chamber music groups from Chicago. And right now, we're going to hear a powerhouse string quartet from Midwest Young Artists Conservatory. They are Quartet Bellezza, and they took gold at this year's prestigious Fish Off National Chamber Music Competition. Quartet Bellezza is violinists Masha Lakisova and Robert Sanders, 15 and 18 years old, respectively. Violist Peter Dudek, 18 years old, and cellist David Kaplan, also 18. They're going to perform for us the final movement of the string quartet number 4 by Béla Bartók.
Thank you. Quartet Bellezza, ages 15 to 18, coached by Robert Busill at Midwest Young Artists Conservatory in the Chicago area. They performed the fifth movement of Béla Bartók's String Quartet No. 4. At the mics, we have violinists Masha Lakasova and Robert Sanders, violist Peter Dubek, and cellist David Kaplan. Well, that sounded pretty golden to me. You guys, no wonder you took the prize at the Fishoff. Just a spectacular performance. You guys are one tightly knit ensemble, and I love the creative way you all chose to bond early on. David, that was your decision?
Yeah, you know, we definitely bonded through fear, actually. I had this crazy idea for us to have a great bonding experience at a haunted house. But this just wasn't any ordinary haunted house. This was the haunted house, Dungeon of Doom. The reputable thing about this haunted house is that it's 60 minutes of pure terror. So that was definitely enough for us to literally bond together.
Wow, so you were actually holding on to each other for dear life.
Yes.
Physically, yeah.
Masha, what was the creepiest?
Well, for me, the clowns were terrifying.
clowns are absolutely...
For me, it was the guy in the pig costume. He had the pig hat, and he, like, came up to me and, like, kept getting in my face. And, like, as I, like, tried to get away from him, he would get, like, further in my face. So
and we would all laugh at that.
The pig thing is really terrible. My gosh.
Yeah, I mean, these guys were literally sweating. Like, they were wet.
Really?
It was harder than playing Bartok.
Well, you certainly make the Bartok easy. You guys are clearly serious musicians, but you're certainly not overly serious people. Let's talk about the name of the quartet, Quartet Bellezza. Peter, where
yes.
did it come from?
During the summer, right before we started working together, we all had a get-together at my home for dinner with all of our families, and we all remember this day really clearly, and we were all brainstorming ideas, and we give all our credit to my mom, who came up with the idea that we have one pretty Masha with three big senior boys. It looks like the Beauty and the Beast. So we were laughing hysterically at that, and we thought it was great, so we started working with it. And we shortened it down to Quartet Bellezza, meaning beauty.
Okay, Bellezza, yeah. Beauty. I guess there's some confusion about who is the beauty, Masha.
Yeah, so as we started working together, we were like, well, who really is the beast? Because clearly Peter is a perfect candidate.
Mm-hmm. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yeah. You know, smiles and all the girls swoon. You know?
It's like, you know, it's like you guys, it's like having your favorite Beatle, you know. There's Masha, the spunky one, and Peter, the heartthrob. We're going to find out once and for all which one of you is, in fact, the beauty in this beast of a group, Masha or Peter. We're going to test you with a brief quiz about, what else? Beauty and the Beast. We'll have Beauty Masha play against Beauty Peter. David, you can play on Masha's team, okay? And Robert, you're going to play on Peter's team. Let's get we've got our noisemakers here so you can chime in with your answers. First question, Joanne.
All right. Historians have found evidence that the underlying story of Beauty and the Beast is 4,000 years old, but written versions first emerged in mid-18th century France. Like many European fairy tales of that era, the early version features A, two evil, greedy, and deceptive sisters who Belle has to overcome. B, kind woodland creatures that Belle calls upon to assist her in a time of need. Or C, a donkey whose voice sounds suspiciously like Eddie Murphy.
Let me see. I heard that Belle come in first. Robert,
we're going to go with try A.
A is, in fact, the answer. Two evil sisters. Right. At one point, they each rub onion into their eyes to make Belle think that they're crying. Next question.
Okay. Listen to this clip of a 20th century opera version of the story. Now, who's the composer? Is it A, Jules Massenet, B, Philip Glass, or C, Karlheinz Stockhausen?
Wow. I didn't think that was going to be the stumper.
Okay.
Should get that looked at. Masha, what do you want to chime in with?
Okay, we think it might be C.
Karlheinz Stockhausen? No, it's not written for helicopters. Anyone else want to chime in?
I guess we'll try. What was A?
Massenet.
No.
You guys into music at all?
Let's try B.
Philip
Glass.
B.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Philip Glass. That's indeed Philip Glass. The opera is based. The opera is conceived to be live accompaniment for the Jean Cocteau film, that great film that came out in 1946 as a kind of new soundtrack. I was a little confused. There's not enough repetition for it to qualify as Philip Glass. Yeah. It's quite open-ended. Joanne.
Okay, and finally, please recite the lyrics that follow this section of the most well-known song from the Disney mega franchise.
Tale as old as time. True as it can be. Barely even friends.
Okay. What do you think it is?
What?
Robert?
Then somebody bends unexpectedly.
Beautiful.
You got it.
Oh,
Anybody keeping score?
No, I was actually not keeping the score there.
Well, like, you know what? You are all bells, in my opinion. Aww. So you're all winners. Thanks, guys. Beautiful performance. Quartet Bellezza. Teenagers from the Chicago area. As promised, we're going to go out with another performance by Oliver Leitner, our 17-year-old violinist from right here in Reno. Oliver, what are we going to play?
We are going to be playing the third movement, Perpetual Motion, third movement of Ravel's Violin Sonata No. 2.
First time ever on our program. Thank you, Oliver, for bringing this, one of my favorite pieces. I want to thank all of our great young performers, and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Oliver, let's take this from the top.
From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Rockefeller Foundation, promoting the well-being of humanity throughout the world since 1913. More about Rockefeller's work in food, health, power, jobs, and resilient cities at rockfound.org. From the Public Welfare Foundation, committed to advancing justice and opportunity for people in need. More information at publicwelfare.org. And from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, at macfound.org.
At home, at work, or just somewhere in between. If there's something you'd like to hear, just reach out. We're as close as your computer. And if you want, you can also tell us why, because we'd like to hear that too. Classical KUSC and KUSC.org.
Funding for KUSC comes from listeners like you, including a generous contribution from the late Edward Judd Zobeline, to help build KUSC's future for the next generation of classical music lovers.
This is Classical KUSC 91.5 FM and HD1 Los Angeles and Orange County, worldwide at KUSC.org. Classical KUSC is a broadcast service of University of Southern California, home of the USC Marshall School of Business, building our cultural community and making Southern California a better place to live. Listener supported, Classical KUSC.